Well, I was taught in Bible college that pastors are never allowed to take revenge on their congregation members. That's one of the number one rules of pastoring. You're not allowed to exact revenge on people in your congregation. I think that's a pretty good rule, don't you?
Yes.
Well, apparently one pastor had forgotten that lesson. You see, there was a man in his congregation who, without fail, he would fall asleep in service every Sunday. Okay, every week the pastor would be up there and he would pour out his heart and his soul into the sermon, only to look up and see that man sound asleep. Finally, the pastor decided enough is enough. He said, I'm going to teach him a lesson. So that next Sunday morning, near the end of his sermon, he said in a quiet voice, if you want to go to heaven, stand up. And everybody in the congregation stood up except the one man who was sound asleep sawing logs on the fourth row. He said, okay, sit down. And then he said this, if you want to go to hell, stand to your feet right now. He said it aloud. The man woke up. He jumped to his feet. He looked around confused. Nobody else was standing up. He said, Reverend, I don't know what we're voting on, but it looks like you and me are the only ones in favor of it. Don't trick people. Might come back to bite you. I want y'all to be honest with me today, since this is the last service of the year. How many of you have ever fallen asleep in church? Some of y'all aren't raising your hand because you're already sleeping. But you notice my hand is up too this morning. I've done it. Yes, I'm not ashamed to admit I haven't done it while I was preaching, almost. But yeah, I've fallen asleep in church before. So I can't get mad at you and throw a Bible at you because I've done it too. If you fall asleep in church, okay, I'll make a deal with you. We'll just assume that you're praying, okay? So if you wake up, just say, amen. You'll be all right. Sometimes falling asleep can be dangerous. The Bible actually records some things that happened to people while they were sleeping. Adam fell asleep and woke up married and missing a rib. Samson fell asleep, woke up beaten and bald-headed. Jonah fell asleep in the boat and woke up wet. In Acts chapter 20, Eutychus fell asleep in church and he woke up dead. The Apostle Paul literally preached him to death. Now, I've preached some long sermons, but I've never done that. Thank God the Lord raised him up. Sometimes sleep can be dangerous. When you're asleep, your awareness of the world around you is shut off. You are not in tune to what's happening in your surrounding environment. And just as we can fall asleep physically, did you know we can fall asleep spiritually? That's why God likes to give us a spiritual wake-up call. And I believe that's what the Lord may want to do for you and me today. We just read Romans 13:11. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Tell somebody, wake up.
Wake up.
Now, like my friends used to say growing up, get woke. Tell your neighbor, you better get woke.
Get woke.
All right. Romans 5:14. Therefore, God says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We are living in perilous times. That's why it's vitally important that we as the people of God open our eyes and be spiritually awake. We need to wake up to what's going on around us and what's happening within us. I think far too often we tend to get the American Idol syndrome. If you watch the beginning of each season of American Idol, without fail, there are hundreds and even thousands of people who are convinced that they can sing. Yet, when they, come on, y'all know it. Mama said I can sing, and Grandma said I can sing, and Pawpaw said I can sing. Well, Shook, they love you, and they'll tell you anything to make you feel better. Come on, they think they have a beautiful voice, yet when they audition, it sounds like a bunch of cats trying to murder each other. They think they can sing, but in reality, think about what that would sound like. But in reality, they can't. And spiritually, you and I, we can be the same way. We think we're great. We think we're okay. We think we're in good standing. But in reality, we're not. By the way, did you hear about the man who fell in love with the opera singer? He attended the London Opera at the Royal Opera House. And that night, he was mesmerized by the lead soprano. She was, by far, the most beautiful woman he had ever seen in his life. Not only that, but her voice was simply incredible. He was so smitten by her that he approached her after the opera with a big bouquet of flowers and said, "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. You have the most beautiful voice I've ever heard. Will you come and have dinner with me tonight?" And to his surprise, she said yes. Next thing you know, they fell in love and they were getting married. And for their honeymoon, he flew her to Paris. And they checked into the Four Seasons, and when they got into the room, she took off her makeup. She took off her wig to reveal her bald head. She took off her false ear, popped out her glass eye, and then she removed her wooden leg. And immediately, he grabbed her in his arms and said, "Sing, baby, sing! Sing, baby, sing. Please, sing for me." Woo, things are not always as they appear. But how many church folks are like that? Come on, they look a certain way and act a certain way and talk a certain way, but in reality, things are not as they seem. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You think you're okay spiritually. You think you're in right standing with God. You think you're living right and doing what you need to do. But take heed lest you fall. That's why we're here today. It's time that we wake up and take inventory. Now, it's not time to take inventory of your neighbor. I know how we can be. Come on. We're all up in everybody else's business all the time. Oh, come on. Y'all said it. I've said it. I wish so-and-so would have been at church today. They really needed to hear that message. Well, just so you know, this is the one Sunday where I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to you today. Jesus didn't say take inventory of other people. He said we should take inventory of ourselves. He said in Matthew 7:3, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" Come on, you're judging them because they got a little splinter. You got a 2x4 hanging out of your head. How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? So if you want to help others, you have to first make sure your own house is in order. That's why it's time to take inventory. Tell somebody, it's inventory time. This is the time of year where many businesses conduct a year-end inventory. I think about my first job. My first job was at a grocery store. I worked at a store called Joiner's Great Value. That may sound familiar because there's still one in Fremont. The one I worked for is gone, but the one in Fremont's still going strong. Something about Fremont, I tell you what. But from my time working in a grocery store, I learned a thing or two about inventory. Inventory is a time to go through everything that you have and determine exactly what is there and what isn't there. Inventory is not fun. Believe me, it is not fun, but it's important. When you take inventory, it shows you what you have, what you're lacking, what you've accomplished, and where you need to improve. In other words, inventory is a time to find out where you really stand. And if inventory is so important when it comes to earthly things, how much more should we take inventory of spiritual things? Colossians 3 verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor where thieves do break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. The implication is that spiritual things are of greater value than physical things. Amen. So at the time of year where people are taking inventory of physical things, how much more should we take inventory of spiritual things? Amen. That's why today I'm going to give you five areas of life where you can spiritually take inventory. Are you ready this morning? Yes. Five areas to inventory. Number one is your prayer life. And I'm not talking about scrub-a-dub-dub, thank you for the grub, amen. I'm not talking about clap your hands, stomp your feet, praise the Lord, we're going to eat. All right, there's more to prayer than that. Prayer is not about rituals. Prayer is about relationships. Communication is essential to any relationship. So I'm asking you this morning, you don't have to answer out loud, but how often do you communicate with God? As believers, prayer should be a part of our daily life. Amen. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look at what happens when you live a lifestyle of prayer. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen to verse 6 in the New Living Translation. I like how it's worded here. Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. So this should be a way of life for us as Christians. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Prayer is vital to our relationship with God. But how many times do we do everything but pray? We have a problem, what do? We call our friends. We call our neighbors. We read a magazine. We search the internet. And then we complain and complain and complain. And then we complain and complain. And we complain to our friends. And we complain to our family. And we complain on Facebook. And we complain on Instagram. We complain on Snapchat. All that stuff. We do all these things, and yet we haven't even prayed about it. Prayer should be the first thing we do, not the last thing we try. I'm going to say that again. If your neighbor's asleep, wake them up. Prayer should be the first thing we do, not the last thing we try. So think about it. How often do you pray? Take time daily to talk with God and to listen, to share what's on your heart and hear what's on His heart. Prayer is an awesome privilege. To think that you and I would even have access to talk to God. That He would talk back to us. When Jesus died on the cross and He said, "It is finished," the veil was torn between God and us. We have access to His presence. We can talk to Him. But how many days do we go by and we don't even strike up a conversation or anything? When our four-year-old prays, this is how he prays. He says, "Hey, Lord." He's casual with it. He's cool with it. He just wants to just talk to God. He's not formal at all. "Hey, Lord." I wish we would have more "Hey, Lord" moments in our everyday life. Amen. You can say amen or ouch, either one, but I just hope you're listening. So as we take inventory of ourselves, going into next year, let's examine our prayer life. Let's commit to grow stronger in prayer. Amen? Yes. Second area to inventory is this. Number two, your devotion to God's Word. Your devotion to God's Word. If there is a Bible-shaped dust pattern in the back seat of your car, you might want to work on this area a little bit. How is your devotion to the Word of God? I know today's message is simple, and I know that it might not be deep, but I think it is deep because this is the foundation of our walk with God. If you get it right in these areas, you'll be a deep Christian, all right? So I'm asking today, how often do you read the Bible? Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Did you know that the Bible feeds your spirit just like bread feeds your body? I love bread. Y'all know that, but I also love the word. Don't just feed your body, feed your spirit on a regular basis. Word of God is life to us. That's why so many people are spiritually weak, because they rely on other people to feed them. Listen, child of God, you got to learn how to feed yourself sometimes. You got to learn how to crack open the Bible and read it for yourself. The Bible's not like any other book. The Word of God is truth. Facts change all the time, but truth never changes. If you don't believe facts don't change constantly, you've never gone to college and bought a textbook. Something in textbooks, $500, $600, $800. Whew. I used to go to the library and I'd check out a textbook so I wouldn't have to buy it. But the professors always found the latest version. I'd go to the library, check out the 5th edition. By the time I got to class, they were reading from the 8th edition. Because facts are always changing. I'll tell you something else. When I was in high school, there were 9 planets. Apparently we lost one somewhere, okay? The facts are always changing, but the truth of God never changes. First they said there are 9 planets. Now there are 8 planets. Who knows what it's going to be tomorrow? But this is what I do know. I know the one who hung the stars in the sky and set the planets in motion. God's word never changes. Psalm 19:1 tells us that the heavens are God's handiwork. Facts change, truth never changes. That's why the Bible will never go out of date. Amen. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I change not. That's why we can rely on God's word. Yeah. It was true 2,000 years ago. It'll still be true 10,000 years from now. Yeah. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Aren't you thankful for the word of God? Yes. Bible says in Hebrews 2:1 that if you listen closely to God's word, it'll keep you from drifting away. If you want to stay close to God, stay close to the word. Bible also says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So if you need an attitude check, Bible will do that too. So take inventory of your life. How often are you in the word of God? Make it a daily habit. Jesus called it daily bread. It will have an impact on your life. 1 is prayer. 2 is the Bible. 3, third area for inventory is your love for others. Church people have a reputation of being clean, but mean. Come on, y'all. How's your love walk with other people? As people of God, we ought to love our fellow man. Here's a spiritual litmus test. Who do you think about more? Other people or yourself? There is a name that everybody loves more than any other name, and I wish it was the name of Jesus, but it's your name. Who do you think about more, yourself or others? Are you more concerned with compassion or self-promotion? Woo! Good gracious. Don't you wish they were here this morning to hear that? I learned this growing up in church, a step out of love is a step into trouble. My wife memorized it too. She's quoting it with me on the front row. Come on, tell your neighbor, a step out of love is a step into trouble. Come on, say that again. A step out of love is a step into trouble. Well, don't you know when somebody's rude to me, the first thing I want to do is take a step out of love? Help me, Jesus. Can't do it. A step out of love. I tell you, the spirit of slaps, the slap anointing starts flowing in my arm. Don't do it, because a step out of love to step into trouble. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't do it. Gotta walk in love. So take inventory. How is your love for other people? Amen. What kind of influence are you having on your loved ones? Do you build them up, or do you make them want to jump off a bridge? Come on, y'all. Are you encouraging them, or are you depressing them? Are you lifting them up, or are you beating them down? So many times the deepest hurt comes from people closest to us. So think about it. What kind of impact are you having on the people closest to you? How do you treat your children? What kind of influence are you having on your friends? Do you draw them closer to God, or do you feed into their weaknesses? Have you treated them right? Don't get nervous in the service. Don't sweat in church. We've all wronged people close to us. When we do, guess what, though? It's up to us to make it right. So if you've wronged somebody, you need to make it right. Now is the time. If you've been wronged by other people, guess what? It's time to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't make what they did okay, but it does open up your heart to God so He can bring healing in your life. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die from it. We got to forgive other people just like God forgave us. Come on, tell somebody, it's inventory time. Prayer, Bible study, relationships. Number four, this is my favorite one, your involvement in the local church. This sermon point was sponsored by Generation Church Incorporated. But really, though, how connected are you to the local body of believers? We live in such a disconnected culture. I can wake up in the morning, get in my car, drive to Walmart, buy 5 shopping carts worth of groceries, check myself out, take it to the car, and never speak to a living human being. We live in a disconnected world. That's why it's so important that we be proactive and staying connected to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That tells me that the closer it comes to Jesus coming back, the more important it is that we stay connected together as believers. It's important that we assemble together in worship. And that's why I'm glad you're in church today, because you can check that off your inventory list. People don't attend church like they used to. The way I was raised, we went to church on Sunday whether we wanted to or not. Isn't that right? I had a drug problem when I was a kid. Mama drugged me to church on Sunday and drugged me back on Sunday night and drove me to prayer meeting on Thursday, drove me to Bible study on Wednesday, drugged me to youth on Saturday. Now that I'm older, I'm glad they drugged me to church. But it's not like that anymore. That's becoming a rare thing. Church attendance is not a discipline. People come and go as they please. So while you're taking inventory, let me ask you, how often do you gather at the house of God for worship? Now, I'm not talking about people who work on Sundays. I never look down at people who work on Sundays, because I work on Sundays, for Pete's sake. Come on now. I'm not talking about that, but what I am talking about is when you have the option to go to church, do you go? Or do you attend the Church of St. Mattress? Come on, somebody. Acting all spiritual. I went to church, the Church of St. Mattress, this weekend. I went to Certa Fellowship International. Heard about a mother who went to wake up her son early Sunday morning. She went into his room and said, "Wake up, son. It's time for church." He rolled over and mumbled, "Mama, I don't want to go to church." She kept persisting. "Son, I love you, and it's so important that you go to church today. So get out of bed. Let's get dressed. Let's go to church." and he whined and he threw a fit. He said, I don't want to go to church. His loving mother finally put her foot down. She may have snapped a little bit. She said, son, whether you like it or not, you are my child and you are going to the house of God today. And she threw off the covers and said, get out of bed. He said, mama, give me one good reason why I should go to church today. She said, oh, one good reason? I'll give you three good reasons. Number one, it's the right thing to do. Number two, you're 45 years old. And number three, you're the pastor. I have days where I want to sleep in too, y'all. But how committed are you to the local church? It's been said that 90% of success is showing up. If you want to be a successful Christian, it's important that you show up. Amen? And really, it shouldn't be a matter of I have to go to church. It ought to be an attitude of I get to go to church. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But don't just come to the church. Get involved in the church. Don't come just to be pew candy, y'all. Get involved. Being involved matters. It's important that we connect with other believers, but I found that the best way to connect with fellow Christians is to work along beside them. Serve together. God has given you talents and gifts to be used for His glory. And yes, this is a shameless plug for volunteering here at GC. Did you know that there are 72 volunteer positions here at Generation Church every Sunday? Can you believe that? 72 volunteer positions. I don't want that to be at least 100 by Easter. That means we are expanding and there is room for you. Amen. Believe me, there's a place for you. And if not, we'll find you a place. We'll make a place for you. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we were created, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were created with work in mind. God has a job for you in the body of Christ. So take inventory. Are you involved in the local church? And last one, and then we'll pray. We talked about prayer, Bible study, relationships, the local church. And this is the last area for inventory. Number five, your personal standards. Your personal standards. 1 John 2:15 says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Amen. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. All of us have personal standards that we live by, but I want to ask you this morning, between you and God, how are your standards? Do they line up with the Word of God? Or do you know that they need some improvement? This is an honest question that Amber and I have to ask ourselves all the time. Is God pleased with what we watch and with the things that we listen to, with the places we go and the environments that we are in? Is God pleased with our conversations, with how we work, with how we spend our time? These things really do matter. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You've heard the expression, garbage in, garbage out. Let's apply that to the scripture we just read. Godly in, godly out. Worldly in, worldly out. You constantly feed yourself ungodly things. You're always listening to ungodly music, watching ungodly movies, hanging out in ungodly places, laughing at ungodly jokes, using ungodly language. Guess what? You're going to produce some ungodliness in your life. you will reap what you sow. Now, I'm not saying go home and burn your TVs and your stereos, but what I am saying is that you need to be alert and open up your eyes and be aware of what you're feeding yourself. If you have a problem with anger and your best friend makes you flip a lid every time you talk to him, maybe you need to think about who you're hanging around. If you struggle with partying and all your friends do nothing but party, maybe you need to pray about who you're surrounding yourself with. Because what you surround yourself with will impact and influence you. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. So what are you feeding and what are you starving? Are you feeding your spirit and starving your sinful nature? Or are you doing the opposite? Ultimately, God has called us to a life of holiness. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. As the saying goes, holiness is still right. Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Church, you cannot make a difference in the world if you're no different than the world. God is calling us to be different, to be the light, to let Jesus shine bright through us. And I truly believe the longer you serve God, the higher your standards ought to be. James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Are you standing by your convictions or have you been compromising? Don't ignore the Holy Spirit when he brings conviction to you about something. You can be listening to something, watching something, and you can be hanging around somebody and you start to feel uncomfortable and uneasy inside of you. That may be the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention, saying, you don't belong here. You don't belong listening to this. You don't belong watching this. This is the wrong environment for you, child of God. When the Spirit of God makes you uneasy, listen to what he says. He's leading you to protect you, to separate you from worldly influence, to draw you near to himself. So stop compromising to get what you want. What you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose. Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Nothing is worth compromising your walk with God. And as we pray this morning, I want us to take to heart the prayer that David prayed. He said, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Will you stand with me for a moment as we pray? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for helping us to take a spiritual inventory today. Lord, help us to see, God, where we truly stand. Search us, Lord, and know our hearts. God, test us and know our anxious thoughts. Lord, if there's anything inside of us that offends you, Lord, show it to us by your Holy Spirit right now. And God, lead us in the way everlasting. God, help us in our prayer life. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, God, that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, we have a direct line to the throne of God. Lord, may we never take prayer for granted. Help us, God, to be people of prayer. God, that where we don't sit here and just worry and fear and have anxiety, but God, we pray about it. We take it to you and lay it before your feet. Draw us, God, closer to you in prayer. And God, give us a renewed hunger for the word of God. Lord, we thank you that your word is life to us, that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for the power of the word of God. Yes. Lord, make us hungry for your word. God, may we walk daily in the word of God. Lord, I pray over our relationships with others. God, help us, Lord, to walk in love. Help us, God, to show your love to those we are around. God, not only to people we come across in public, but God, the people closest to us. Lord, may we keep our testimony, God, in how we deal with them and treat them and respond to them. Help us, God, to love them as you loved us. Help us, God, just to be kind. Lord, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. God, help us to be kind and gentle and walk in love. God, be with us in our relationship with the local church. Lord, I know, God, that the church is the hope of the world. And Lord, you want to see a church that is strong, that stands strong together, a church that's united. God, not divided, not disconnected. But God, I pray, Lord, that you would just connect us more and more and more right now and in this coming year. God, may we be more connected than we've ever been. And help us, God, in our personal standards. Help us, God, to obey the things that you've spoken to us, God. Forgive us for becoming desensitized to your voice. Help us, God, to have a heart that is tender towards you, a heart that is open to you, God, that we would hear your voice and follow your leading. Lead us in the way everlasting. God, I thank you, Lord, that as we take a survey and inventory of these five areas, Lord, that wherever we're falling short, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. God, I thank you that you'll give us the strength and the grace that we need, God, to walk the way that you've called us to walk. And I thank you, Lord, for changing us and transforming us as we listen to your voice today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you take inventory of your life today, the most important question of all is this. Are you right with God? Heaven and hell are real. Eternity is real. And I want to ask you this morning, are you prepared for eternity? Bible says in Hebrews 9:7 that it's appointed to man once to die and after that, the judgment. We're going to all spend eternity somewhere and God does not want you to go to hell. Hell was never meant for people. Jesus said that. He said in Matthew 25:41, he said hell was created for the devil and his angels. It's not God's will for any person to perish. That's why he sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross and pay the price for our sins. God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Truth is, we cannot save ourselves. Jesus is the only one who can make us right. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says that there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. God raised him from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus is Lord forever. And all who come to him by faith, he will receive. This morning you have an opportunity right now in your heart to make a commitment to follow Jesus. You'll be forgiven of your sins. You'll be set free. You'll receive eternal life. You'll be able to live the kind of life that God called you to live. It all begins and ends with Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't have peace in your heart, you don't know that you're right with God, I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you make that decision this morning. I want to ask everybody here, let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I need you. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. Amen. If you made that decision, you made the greatest decision of your lifetime. The Bible says that angels are rejoicing in heaven because you committed your life to Jesus today. Now, I wish I could tell you you're going to sprout angel wings and grow a halo and be perfect from this point forward. But that's not the case. But the Bible says this, that if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.